Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building something small, rude, and very useful, a resampled 808 tail that feels like pirate radio jungle energy in Ableton Live 12. Not a clean sub drop, not a random effect hit, but a short bass statement that can sit between your drums and your main bass line and make the whole tune feel more alive. This is a classic old-school D&B move. Jungle is all about controlled disorder. The arrangement should feel hand-built, like someone is juggling the records live, not just looping a perfect 8-bar pattern. A resampled 808 tail is perfect for that because it can act like a little bass punctuation mark. It answers the break, pushes the groove forward, and gives you that rude, slightly unstable feel without destroying the low end. Let's start at the source. Load an 808 kick or sub hit into a MIDI track and pick something with a long, clean decay. You want a tail with a strong fundamental and enough sustain to shape. If your sample dies too quickly, it won't give you much to work with. Keep the MIDI note short, almost like a trigger, so you're really listening to the tail after the transient. What you're hunting for is that moment where the hit stops being a click and turns into sustained bass. What to listen for here? Does the tail hold its weight for long enough to sculpt, or does it disappear too fast? For this technique, you want something that hangs for at least part of a bar, because that gives you room to chop it into rhythm later. Before you print anything, shape the source a little. A simple Ableton chain works beautifully here. EQ8, saturator, then auto filter. On EQ8, trim off any top-end junk that you don't need, maybe above 4 to 8 kHz if there's too much click. If the low end is bloated, don't just turn it down globally. Nudge the problem area, often somewhere around 40 to 60 Hz, so you keep the character but lose the mud. Then add a little saturator, maybe 2 to 6 dB of drive, and if you want density, leave soft clip on. After that, use auto filter to focus the body of the tail, usually somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz, depending on the sound. Why this works in D&B is simple. Old school jungle rarely sounds pristine. A touch of saturation and filtering makes the tail feel sampled, roughened, and believable next to breakbeats. You're not trying to make a perfect modern sub. You're trying to make something that belongs in a pirate radio mix. Now print it to audio immediately. Resample the source onto a new audio track, or route it and record it in real time. Capture a few passes if you can. One clean version, one dirtier version, and one where you move the filter slightly during the decay so the tail opens up a little as it falls away. Don't overthink the first print. The point is to get audio you can edit, because the real magic here is in chopping. If the printed tail already has a strong body, great. If it sounds weak in audio, stop and fix the source chain first. You can't rescue a thin tail later with editing tricks alone. At this point, choose the direction you want. If you want rude and clipped energy, shorten the tail, push the saturation a bit harder, and aim for a tighter, more aggressive decay. That's a strong choice for darker rollers, amen-style energy, and harder old-school phrases. If you want wobbly and smoky energy, keep more of the tail length. Let the filter breathe a little, and build the movement more through chopping than through hard clipping. That's better for ghostly intros, dubwise moments, and tension-building entries. Now comes the fun part. Slice the printed tail into usable pieces. You can keep it as an audio clip and edit it manually, or move it into simpler if the audio gives you clear trigger points. For this kind of jungle tail, manual editing often feels better because you can choose exactly where the decay lives. Think in fragments, not in one long note. Grab the swell, the body, and the release separately. A really usable pattern might be a short hit on the end of 2, a longer response on beat 3, and then a clipped ending before beat 1 of the next bar. What to listen for here? Do the slices still feel like they belong to the same sound family? If every chopped piece sounds like a different bass, the phrase loses identity. You want variation, but you want it to feel like one character being edited in different ways. Now turn those slices into a phrase, not just a loop. Jungle and old-school D&B breathe through phrasing. If the bass is constant, it stops feeling exciting. Let the tail answer the snare instead of fighting it. A good approach is to place the tail after the snare, not on top of it. For example, let the snare hit on 2 and 4, then answer with the tail after the snare on 4. On the next bar, use a smaller chopped response on the offbeat and then leave a gap. That space matters. In jungle, the empty pocket is often what makes the next hit feel hard. Try it with a break and kick playing. If the tail makes the snare feel smaller, shorten it. If it disappears completely, let a little more low mid through, somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz, or ease up on the filtering. This is always a balancing act between weight and clarity. Now let's control the low end before it controls the mix. On the audio track, use EQA to remove any useless rumble below the part that matters. A gentle high pass around 25 to 35 Hz is often enough. If the tail feels too thin, don't just boost sub blindly. That usually creates fog. Instead, allow a bit more body in the 100 to 180 Hz area if the arrangement needs it. If the tail is fighting the kick, you have two good options. Shorten it, or move it slightly later so the kick transient has room first. Also, keep the core low end centered. If you want width, keep it out of the sub region and only widen the higher harmonics. Utility is your friend here. The low end should read solid and mono safe on a club system. Now give it a second processing pass for character. This is where you really lean into the pirate radio feel. One great chain is saturator, drum bus, then EQ8. Use just a little saturator if the print is already hot. Add drum bus lightly for crunch and density, but keep boom subtle or off if it starts bloating the bottom. Then use EQ8 to tame any harsh upper mids or any boom that got exaggerated. Another good chain is auto filter, echo or simple delay, and maybe a touch of redux if needed. Keep the delay short and restrained. You want just enough smear to suggest an old, slightly unstable sampler, not enough to wash the groove away. If you use redux, be careful. A little texture is cool. Too much bit reduction will kill the authority of the bass. This is where the pirate radio energy really comes from. A little degradation. A little movement. A little instability. Not polished, but controlled. Now place it in the arrangement. Drum spots are the end of an 8-bar intro, the last bar before the drop, or a switch-up in the middle of a 16-bar section. Don't use it every bar. That's the fastest way to turn a cool idea into wallpaper. Use it like a memory point. Let the listener feel, ah, there it is again. A really strong old-school move is to bring it in lightly in the first drop, then make it more obvious in the second drop. That gives the track an arc without needing a completely new bass line. If the tune feels too modern and clean, use the tail more like a featured accent. If it feels too loose, tighten the rhythm and reduce the appearances. A good coaching habit here is to check the sound in three passes. Solo first, then with drums only, then with the full bass line. In solo, does it still feel like one deliberate sound? With drums, does it support the break without covering the snare body? With the full bass line, does it leave a job for the main sub or reese instead of trying to replace it? If the tail sounds exciting in solo but the groove gets worse when the kick comes back, the problem is usually timing or length, not tone. Shorten first, EQ second. That order matters. A few quick pro moves can make this feel even more authentic. Try tiny nudges. A tail placed a few milliseconds late can feel more dragged and dangerous. Pushing it a touch early can make it feel more urgent. Don't overdo it. Just enough to create microgroove. Also, pair the tail with break edits. If the break has a snare fill or ghost note pickup, let the tail answer that move. That makes the whole thing sound like it was cut live. Very jungle. Very effective. And if the track is already busy, keep the true sub elsewhere. Let the resampled tail be a mid-bass accent and leave the clean sign sub to a simpler layer. That way you get menace without muddy low-end fog. If the tail still feels too clean after all that, don't just crush it harder. First decide what it needs more of. Harmonics, movement, edge, width, or space. Those are different fixes. Saturator helps with harmonics. Filter automation helps with movement. Clipping style density helps with edge. Width should stay out of the low end. And space effects should stay short and selective. Here is the big idea. The rhythmic placement is the identity. In old school jungle, a bass tail is not just a sound design object, it is a phrase element. If it doesn't answer the break in the right pocket, it won't read as jungle energy, no matter how good the tone is. So keep the process tight. Shape the source. Print it. Chop it. Make it answer the drums. Keep the core low and mono safe. Add grit after the rhythm is working. Then place it where the arrangement needs a rude, memorable accent. If you want to test yourself, do the short practice challenge. Build a 2-bar phrase from 1-800-8 style source only. Make 3 versions. Clean, gritty, and short and chopped. Keep the processing simple. Then audition them against your break, your kick, and your main bass. The best version is the one that makes the drop feel more physical without making you turn everything else down. Alright, that's the move. Resample the 808 tail. Give it some pirate radio attitude, and let it behave like a little junglist response line rather than just a low note. If you nail the chop and the placement, it'll sound tight, rude, and properly old school. Now go build the phrase, bounce a couple of versions, and see which one hits hardest in the context of the drums. That's where the real jungle magic shows up.